Hebrews chapter 11. Now I'm just going to stay here for just a second, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 14. So we're going to see this here in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to see it unfold in Exodus chapter 14. Hebrews 11 and verse 28. Through faith, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Now, the title of the message is, True Faith Passes Through the Red Sea. True faith passes through the Red Sea. Now, remember, just to give you an introduction here, we have been looking at the faith of Moses and how it is it pictures true believers, true faith in Christ. You remember that Moses forsook Egypt, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. This is a picture of true faith. True faith is repentance. We turn from flesh, we turn from our works, we turn from our nature, we turn from our wisdom, and we turn to Christ. We see that ours is nothing but refuse, dung, and we turn to Christ, true riches. Faith in Christ is true riches. And we rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then secondly, Moses, it says he not only forsook Egypt and turned to Christ, faith and repentance, but in verse 28, he kept the Passover. True faith keeps the Passover, not in that ceremony, in that ritual of Passover, but rather true faith keeps its eye on Christ, our Passover. True faith sees that Christ was tried. Christ was slain. Christ's blood has been applied to our hearts. And we eat Christ by faith. And we are ready to go. That's what those people in those houses, they were gird up their loins. They take that robe and gird it up. And they had a staff in their hand and shoes on their feet, ready to go. And that's exactly how it is with the believer. We are eating Christ and we are ready to go. Ready to be with God, worship God, serve God. So that's a picture of true faith. And now we come to this one. True faith passes through the Red Sea. By faith they pass through the Red Sea. And that's my first point, is all true faith passes through the Red Sea. Now, consider the picture of the scene here. Now, go to Exodus chapter 14. Now, we'll come back to that verse just in a little bit because I need to see the second half of it. But let's see this first half. In Exodus chapter 14, we see the scene here. The Lord, in verses 1 and through 4, He declares a sovereign plan. A sovereign plan. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall they encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And listen, and they did so. A sovereign plan. A sovereign plan. The Lord leads Israel into this helpless place. A helpless place. A place surrounded on each side by mountains and wilderness. In front of them is the sea, and behind them Pharaoh pursues. There's no place to go. God said, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, and he'll pursue after them. And so the plan was executed, and listen, they did so. What God said happened would happen, happened. And Pharaoh, he rode hard after the Israelites. And they see him coming. They see him coming. Verse 5, they told the king, and the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go serving us? And they made ready his chariots, and he took with him the 600 chariots and all of his best men. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he pursued after the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, and all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them in camping beside Pi-Hahiroth and Bel-Zorphan. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. Here they are. Now they're coming. They're entrapped. They're in this position that they can't go anywhere. And Pharaoh's pursuing. Now let me ask you, who did this? Whose plan is this? It's God's plan. It's God did this. I tell you this, God shut them in. God shut them in. Did you get it? God shut them in. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Can you not see the sovereignty of God in this? In Job chapter 12, it says this, the deceived and the deceiver both are the Lord's. You got that? The deceived is the Lord's. And the deceiver are the Lord's. He'll do with them as he pleases. And as Pharaoh rode hard after them, the Israelites looked up and they see him coming. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. There's no escape here. There's no way out. And they feared. Then what'd they do? Scripture says in verse 10, they cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. They're brought to despair. They're brought to helplessness. They're shut in and shut up. Shut in and shut up. To God's mercy and God's power. And what did God do? God said to Moses, He said unto the people in verse 13, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them no more. Stand still, is what He told them. See the salvation of the Lord. And you remember that pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud and fire by day that led them to this encampment, led them to this trap. It removed and went behind them and separated between them and Pharaoh. And the Lord caused Moses to stretch forth His hand. And you know what happened when He took that rod and stretched it out? That the sea parted. And they walked through on dry ground. They walked through on dry ground. And when the Egyptians tried to do the same, the Lord removed that pillar of fire that separated them, and they essayed, that's part of our text, they essayed to do the same. But you remember, the Lord made their chariot wheels to fall off. They got stuck in the mud. They couldn't go forward and they couldn't go back. They were shut in. But you see the difference between the shut-ins? Israel was shut in to be delivered. Pharaoh was shut in to be destroyed. They drown. They drown. God's people were saved, and they rejoiced and praised God. Now, it must be asked, why did God deliver them in such a way? Now, why is this? You've seen those Star Trek shows and stuff where they teleport Yeah, somebody beam somebody up and move them. We'd say, would that be a good plan? Wouldn't that be something you and I would choose? Why can't he just beam them to the other side? Just move them over there. He could do that. There's no one. Why did God shut them in and then deliver them by such a way as through the sea? Why? Why were they made to be trapped? Why did Pharaoh pursue them? Why did God harden his heart to pursue them? Why did they need to go through the Red Sea? Now, if they didn't need to go through the Red Sea, you believe it. They wouldn't have gone through the Red Sea. They needed to go through the Red Sea because God would teach us the gospel. That's what it is. It's a gospel message. He says this as to why he did this. In first, look at verse 4. He said that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And in verse 18, he says it again, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God said this, I'm doing this for my own honor. Why does God do things? You mark this down first, it's for His own glory. Whatever God's doing, it's for His own glory. Men may not like that, but that's exactly what God's doing. In your life, in my life, in everybody's life, God is getting glory for Himself. He will. He will. And the second thing is that Israel should see and experience the power and salvation of God. That's why God did it. That His people should both see and experience the power of God. It'd be one thing for them to walk up to the sea and say, look, God could part that. It's another thing for Him to actually do it in front of their eyes, isn't it? Listen, it's one thing for me to speak of salvation in Christ. It's another thing for God to actually do it. The only way anyone's going to be delivered is if God do it. Experience it. It was to deliver Israel by the Red Sea that we may see the power and salvation of God in His people by Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus testified that there are many who are ignorant of the salvation of God. You listen, there are many who are ignorant because they've never experienced it. If you've never experienced the salvation of God, listen to me. I don't care how much doctrine you know, you are ignorant of the salvation of God. Why? You've not experienced it. You've not experienced it. Jesus said, you are ignorant of the salvation of God and do err, knowing not the Scriptures and the power of God. You see, men by nature do not see the importance of Christ, nor their great need of Him, because they have not experienced the power of God's grace in their heart. Men may read this book, but they cannot make any sense of it. They don't know what it teaches, even because they have not experienced the power of salvation in their souls. Paul declares to the saints who know the Scriptures, he said, it is the power of God. Isn't that what he said in Romans? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why are we not ashamed of the gospel? Because we know it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Men may be religious, they may be moral and outwardly righteous before men, but they may be orthodox in their doctrine, but unless they are quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, born again of God, there is no salvation in their heart. See, salvation is more than the collection of knowledge of doctrines. The doctrines of the Bible, men can accept them in their minds. But listen, unless they become real to you in your hearts, you have no salvation. To all who have seen the power of God, the doctrine of redemption is no mere doctrine. You see, I really am redeemed. It's real. Redemption is no mere doctrine, but is the constant hope of my forgiveness before God. The doctrine of regeneration is a reality. The doctrine of depravity is the confession of my soul. The doctrine of irresistible grace is my experience. The doctrine of the righteousness of Christ is all my merit, and standing before God is the reality of my new nature. This is not mere doctrine. This is not mere words on a page, but it is experience of grace in my heart and in your heart, if you believe. Therefore, to us, the Scriptures are not confusing to us. We're not ignorant of these things. You see, we have no need to change our doctrine. Why? Because the doctrine is set. It's in this book. And it's in my heart. And we know this is our salvation. We've experienced it. These saints here crossing the Red Sea is an illustration of our experience of grace that has been wrought in our hearts by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Now then, I have six things. Six things about this passing through the Red Sea. That is the experience of every believer in Christ. You have the same experience of these people at the Red Sea, spiritually speaking, is your experience. First of all, the saints of God were shut up and shut in. Or shut in and shut up, either way you want to do it. They were shut in and they were shut up. The first work of grace that is to be done by the Holy Spirit is to shut us in to a place where we become utterly and completely helpless. To save ourselves. That's the first experience of grace. You that have experienced the grace of God, you will understand this. You were shut in and shut up to your works, to your religion. And it was God who led the people out of Egypt. He brought them to the place that was contrary to all human wisdom. He led them to a place where they were going to be trapped. A place where they were to encamp. Pahiroth, listen, it means a hole. That's what it means. A hole. A steep valley. Pahiroth was a hole by which was over against Migdol, which means a tower or a mountain. There was a hole on their right side. On their left side was a mountain. In front of them was the Red Sea. And behind them, Pharaoh pursued hard after them. Thus, the Scripture says, they were shut in on all sides with no way to escape. Now behold the picture. Every child of God that is made to pass through the hole of despair of our sins. Every child of God is always made to pass through this hole. We become aware of our corruption, of our condition before God. Thus Satan is now set against us. He pursues us. He accuses us before God. Only to add to our guilt and shame. Behold, the hole, the valley, is the law of despair. This is what Paul's experience was. Go to Romans chapter 7. Look at Paul's experience of this valley, this hole that he had to endure, which every saint must endure. Romans chapter 7 and verse 9. The apostle says, "For I was alive without the law once. I was happy. I was content. I was well without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Sinner, have you ever been exposed by the law of God to be guilty before God? Have you ever seen the greatness of God's holiness and the valley of your sin that separated you from God? Paul said the law had a purpose. The law has a purpose. It is never to save or give life. The law that he thought should give life only was death to him. The law only exposed sin. It cannot redeem. It cannot deliver. It is a hole. It is a deep valley which no man can fathom. No man can climb out of. And behold, this was the plan of God. The plan of God, that this place was purposed of God for Israel. And not only this, they were to be pursued. It was God's ordained purpose that Pharaoh pursue them. And so it is spiritually. When God shuts a sinner up, shuts him in to the law, so that he cannot turn to the right or to the left, he also ordains the deceiver of men to pursue him. He causes us to see our hopeless condition and shuts us in to the deadness of our own souls to obey God. That we should see God ordained Satan to pursue after His children. He shuts us in. Have you ever been shut in? Listen, if you've got a way to go, you'll take it. But if God ever shuts you in, you won't have any place to go. You won't have any place to go. Have you ever been shut in? And not only does He shut them in, He shuts them up. They're not able to turn to the right or to the left. The hole on their right, the tower on their left, their sins, Satan pursuing them, shut in, shut in. Has this not been true with you, believer? God in providence and grace has led us to be shut in to the mountains of our sin, the hole of the law, so that we cannot turn to either. The devil and his guilt pursuing us, death and hell coming up behind. And notice this, the sea was before them. What does this sea represent? God's justice. You remember what washed away the world in Noah's time was the rain, the water, the sea. Washed. Judgment. The sea before them is a judgment. How vast is the sea of God's justice that no man could bear its weight. Could you bear the weight of the sea? You could much easier bear the weight of the sea than you could bear the justice of God in yourself. Have you ever been so low and your sin so great that you dare not approach unto God? Have you ever been shut in like that? Have you ever been shut up like that? Isn't that what the purpose of the law says in Romans chapter 3? That every mouth may be, what? Stopped. And the whole world become guilty before God. I know that men always try to come to God by their merits, by their obedience, by some unholy mixture of Christ's work plus their free will, Christ's work plus their religion and their ceremony. But when God will save a sinner, He must and will shut him in and make him hopeless of all self-righteousness or salvation by works. He must shut him up to the mercy of God. Job asked this question. How should a man be just with God? And when you were shut in and shut up, is that not the question? How may I escape? How may I be just before God? How can God be just and the justifier of the ungodly? Job said this. He said, if God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him. How much less shall I answer Him and choose out my words of reason with Him? Whom though I were righteous, yet I would not answer, but I would make supplication before my judge. He realized his sin. He said, how can I even, if I were righteous, how would I even speak to Him? How could I move Him to do anything for me? If I were righteous, I would just be doing what I was supposed to. I cannot move God. But Job says, if I justify mine own self, my own mouth will condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I know my soul. I would despair of my life. And Job goes on to say, he said, all my works are vain. He said, if I be wicked, why then labor in vain? Isn't that where you come to when God exposed you of your sin? That all your labor is vain? That all your works are empty? That you could do nothing to accept, be accepted of God? Has God shut you in? Has God shut you up? If God will ever save you, He must do this first. He must. And Job lamented in Job 9:33, he lamented this. He said, neither is there any mediator betwixt us. He said, oh, that God would have a mediator. Oh, that there would be someone to stand between me and God. Someone to plead my cause. And this is the cry of everyone who is shut up and shut in by God. Because that's the next point. Not only were they shut in and shut up, they cried. They cried. Look at Exodus chapter 10, chapter 14 and verse 10. When God shut them in and shut them up to all their works or efforts, this is the result. Verse 10. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. As Job cried for a daysman, as Job cried for a mediator, that one should stand between him and God, this is exactly what men who are shut up, men and women who are shut up to themselves, this is exactly what they'll do. They will cry out to God for mercy. These prophets of old, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And what did they speak of? They spoke of a daysman. Job spoke of a daysman, of a mediator. One that should stand between us and God. Now, men by nature will cling to anything but Christ. I want you to understand that. If you can find anything to cling to besides Christ, you will. But when God shuts you up, this is the only thing that will satisfy your soul. The only thing that will work is Christ. The only place for sinners they can turn to is God. Those who are shut up and shut in, they become like that publican. You remember that publican and the Pharisee went out to pray? We were like the Pharisee by nature. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I thank you that I'm not like that guy. I'm better than that guy. We relied on our works. We weren't shut up. We weren't shut in. But when we're shut up and shut in, what do? We become the publican. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. I don't know if that Pharisee, he looks pretty good. I don't know if I can match him. But I know this, I am the sinner. Be merciful to me, the sinner. But how shall we approach unto God? We cry out for mercy, but how shall we approach unto God? Job said this, if I called and he had answered me, yet I would not believe that he hearkened to my voice. Job knew he was a sinner. He was shut up and shut in. If he cried to God, would God hear me? Isn't that the question of someone who's shut up and shut in? Will God hear me? Yet see in our text, the answer of God to those who are shut up and shut in, to those who cry unto God. Look at the answer. This is the third part. The answer. In verse 13. And Moses said unto those people that cried, those who were shut up, those who were shut in, those who cried unto God, he said this, fear you not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now listen, you who are fearful, you who are helpless, you who are hopeless, shut in and shut up sinner, don't be afraid. The one who shuts you in and shuts you up is God. He led you there. Here's what you need to do. You listening? Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Sinner, stop working. Cease from your vain efforts to escape. Stop trying. Isn't that what men... Well, I'm trying. Stop trying. Give up. Surrender. Stand still. Stop trying to help God help you. God doesn't need your help. Did He need your help to shut you up and shut you in? He didn't need your help. He did all by Himself. And you know what? If God will deliver you, He'll do it all by Himself. He don't need you. You need Him. And listen to what He said. Stand still. Stand still. You know, when Moses was receiving the law, he said this, if you want to make me an altar and you build it out of stone, don't touch it. Don't make it pretty. Don't chisel it. Don't sculpt it. Leave it alone. Why? Because in salvation, if you put your hand to the work, you defile it. You make it of none effect. It's not powerful. It's not going to work. Paul warned those Galatians. He said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you don't stand still, if you don't stop trying to add your work and your will to the work of Christ, you will never be saved. Stand still. Do nothing. And what? See the salvation of the Lord. Stop working and look. Look. You remember when they were bitten by those serpents? They were given that, the Lord gave to Moses that brazen serpent. He said, you build this serpent out of brass and put him on a pole and set him on a hill. And then you tell Israel, look and live. What did that serpent picture? Christ on the cross. Christ who died for the sins of His people. Christ, the righteousness of God. The only Savior for sinners is Christ. Behold, friend, the battle is not yours. You'll never win it. God must fight for you. God must fight against your sin. God must fight against Satan and death and hell, the law and the justice of God, which shuts you up and shuts you in. God must do it for you. He must fight for you. There's only one who has fought and won the victory over all our enemies is Jesus Christ. You see, He alone has merited the righteousness of God by His faith. Scripture says, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. How is righteousness obtained? Stop working! And look! Righteousness has already been obtained. See then how He was made sin for us and suffered under the justice of God, to which suffering the justice of God was satisfied. Stand still. Stop trying to satisfy God's justice. And look, Jesus has already done it. He shall see of the travail of His soul and be what? Satisfied. God satisfied. Why do you keep working? Why do you keep working? Look! And see the salvation of the Lord. Therefore, He says to Moses in our text, I like this, look at this. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to Me? Go forward. Tell the children of Israel, go forward. Not to the law. Not to the despair of their sin. Not back to death and hell. Go forward into the justice of God. Into the sea. And lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground in the midst of the sea. This brings me to my fourth point. The movement of those shut up and shut in. God said, go forward. Now listen, I would never suggest any sinner go before God in himself. That is a foolish errand. To try to go before the justice of God in yourself. And listen, I wouldn't do it myself if God didn't say it. Go forward. Come to Me. Isn't that the command? Come unto Me. All you that are weary, shut up and shut in. All you that cry for mercy, come to Me. Stand still. Stop working. See what I'm doing. See what I've done. And come to Me. Come to Me. You mean I could come to God? Listen, God doesn't ask you to come. He commands you to come. Come to Me. God says to Israel, go forward into the judgment bar of God with this confidence, the rod. Moses, had Moses not lifted up the rod, the sea would never have parted. And you listen, if God had not lifted up Christ on the cross, the sea of God's judgment would have never parted. But look, it's parted. The way is open. Look, the ground is dry. Go forward. And what do those who are shut up and shut in do? They have nowhere else to go but forward. And that's what we do by faith. We go forward. We come to Christ. We believe on Christ. Don't be afraid. Come forward. Come with confidence that the rod has been lifted up. God has parted His infinite justice, and we are able to walk to God on a firm foundation that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here is the cause not to fear. Here's my cause of hope. Though I be shut in and shut up to sin and guilt, the blood of Jesus Christ hath atoned for all my sins. He hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sin, from death, from the power of Satan and the justice of God. Oh, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, which laid for your faith in His excellent Word. Have you come to God by Christ? Then I want you to see this. Those walls of water, some say 13 stories high, many others deeper. It never touched the children of God. They walked through those walls of water untouched. Believer, as we walk by faith in Christ, we are untouched by the justice of God. You know why? Because it touched Christ first. Therefore, the Scripture says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. For the Lord has accomplished her warfare and has paid double for all her transgression, all her iniquities. So those walls of judgment, justice, they're not meant for our hurt, but rather our protection. You see, no one could come at us from the right or to the left, could they? No one could come before us. That's where God is. Though Satan pursue behind us, the justice of God is not going to touch us. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. I know that we are so prone to fear. You know, imagine those Israelites were afraid. You bet they were. Did they have any reason to be afraid? No. God had purposed all along that they make it. He had purposed long before they'd ever got there that they should be made, that they should make it easily to Canaan. You listen, God had always purposed for you to make it to glory. And everything He's done is to lead you to this place where you should trust Him, where you should believe in Him. And if you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this, regardless of how you feel, God's purpose that you'll make it. Now stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Move forward, go forward into the justice of God, for the blood of Christ hath parted it. And even so, now that Christ has went before us, He is waiting for us on the other side. You know, Moses, he went first. He went through there first. He's a picture of Christ. He went there first, and he turned around, and he looked, and what was he doing? He was beckoning them to come. And that's what He does for us. Christ is on the other side, beckoning us through the way, through the justice. Come on, it's well with you. It's safe. Come on. And what do? We go forward. Today I'm going forward. I still believe in Christ. And you know what? I still believe in Christ. You know what? And I still believe in Christ. And I'm going to keep doing this until the day that God takes me home, until I actually make it to the other side. And so will you. So will you. And the fifth thing is the pursuit. Pharaoh pursued hard behind Israel. And remember, this is the purpose of God too. We, like Israel, were given a great victory, a great season of joy and peace. Isn't that what happened after the Passover? Don't you think everybody was happy? Everybody was rejoicing, having a good time. We got all this. We spoiled Israel, and we didn't even have to fight. The blood did this for us, and we were so happy. And then what did God do? He shut them in. Isn't this our experience over and over? Joy, joy, joy. Sadness, sadness, sadness. Joy, joy, joy. Sadness, sadness. Shut in, shut in. Delivered. Shut in, delivered. It's our experience. All the time, Satan is always pursuing us. Always chasing after us. And you listen, the same God that ordained your salvation ordained His pursuit of you. And yet, we who believe in Christ, we are often found murmuring. Now what Israel did, they cried unto the Lord, but they also at the same time murmured. Anybody? Anybody? Lord, help me! Oh, I can't stand where I'm... Help me! I can't... What happened? Why are you doing this to me? What's wrong? Why am I in this trouble? I don't understand. Murmuring and crying at the same time. I like this. Someone said, let me not speak of sovereignty and then complain of my lot in life. It's inconsistent. So our prayer is, Lord, deliver us from Satan, from sin, from doubts and fears. Lord, let us obey and go forward, looking only to Christ as the goal. Let us run the race that we have set before us with patience. For Satan will pursue us, yet he will never overtake us. You got that? Ordained to pursue, but never to overtake. Was it possible for Pharaoh to reach them? Now, Pharaoh thought it was possible. But the Lord knew it was not. He ordained that it would not. And when he got to the middle of that, you know what happened to him? He was destroyed. You know what happened to your sin when Christ rose from the dead? Christ died for your sin. Your sin was forever erased. Blotted out as a thick cloud. What then can Satan accuse you of? He rides hard, but in the end, he always is defeated. Always is defeated. And the last thing I want to give is a warning. A warning to you that have not been shut up. You that have not been shut in. You that have not cried unto God. You that have not experienced the grace of God in believing in Christ. Listen to this. Go back to your text for just a minute and look at the last part of this text. Now, true faith, it goes through the Red Sea. Let me see. Make sure I got the right place. There we go. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, which the Egyptians, essaying to do the same, were drowned. Pharaoh and his army are not only a picture of Satan and our sins and death and hell, but they're also a picture of false religion. Those who don't have true faith. Those who are religious attempt to do the same as true believers. They attempt to make it through the justice of God to the other side. They attempt to make it by their own determination. Pharaoh was determined, wasn't he? His heart was hard. He had gotten the best of his men, the best of his chariots. And that's what men do. They get the best of their works, the best of their religion, and they're determined to make it to God. They're determined to do good works and to prove themselves righteous. But just like Pharaoh and his chariots, they always get stuck in the mud. The ground is not dry to them. Religion is nothing more than a quagmire. It's a quicksand. It always demands more, and there's never enough. And And listen, everyone who tries to come to God by their own works will have the same fate as Pharaoh and his chariots. The justice of God will in the end consume them, and they shall perish for eternity. So then, have you ever been shut up and shut in? Yes. Have you ever had to cry to God for free mercy without merit? Have you ever been able to cease from your works and look to Christ by faith? Do you continually look to Christ by faith? Go forward through the Red Sea of God's justice. Untouched, always looking to Christ. Are you pursued by Satan and your sin, always at the heel? Then you have this. They, by faith, pass through the Red Sea. True faith always passes through the Red Sea. How? By Jesus Christ alone. And all those who do not come to God by Christ will perish. Now do you see? Have you passed through the Red Sea? We do, by faith in Christ. That's true faith. Do you have true faith? Then your heart should rejoice. Because that's what they did when they made it to the other side, didn't they? They rejoiced. In what? The salvation of God. We didn't rejoice in our going forward. We didn't rejoice in our... We rejoiced in God. That's what we do. We rejoice in God. I pray God give us such grace to do so. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.